Keep cool out there, folks. It's going to be a hot one.
We the people love summer baseball. The food is over the top. The cheers come from the chest. We came with friends, but we met new ones. We have seats, but we're standing. They say it's anyone's game. But from what we can see, it's everyone's. Baseball for the people.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's the refreshing!
1580 The Bet, WJFK AM Morningside, and WJFK HD3 Manassas. Always live on the free Odyssey app, DC's home for wagertainment.
The biggest names in the business are on You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos.
Hey, this is Joe Buck, and you have done it. You have found it. You are listening to You Better You Bet. Great decision.
This is Bob Costas, not Kostos, but you are listening to Nick Kostos on You Better You Bet.
Hi, this is Kevin Harlan of CBS, Westwood One, and TNT, and I'm listening, as you do every day, to You Better You Bet with the most handsome single man in the radio business. A man who, if I was not married for 38 years, I might consider myself the kind of guy that can electrify a listening audience and a crowd of bystanders watching him do what he does so well each and every day. Continue to listen right here on You Better You Bet.
This is You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports, brought to you by BetMGM.
The terrific Football Tuesday edition of You Better You Bet rolls on. Nick Kostos, our crew, and you, here on Westwood One Sports. Hope springs eternal today in the world of sports and in the National Football League. 32 out of 32 NFL teams at training camp today. Less than 50 days from the start of the season. Hall of Fame game next Thursday. What a time to be alive. First hour of the show devoted to a bunch of teams that I love this year in the National Football League. Some of them the betting market loves as well, and I love them even more than that. Coming up in about 20 minutes here on the show, I'm going to tell you a couple teams that I like less than the betting market. And one of them features a team and a quarterback that you probably love. I can't wait to share that with everybody coming up later this hour. And also this hour, we will get to everything happening, and there is a ton in Major League Baseball. An injury last night for the Boston Red Sox we need to discuss. Cody Bellinger out 4 to 6 weeks for the New York Yankees, and what they might do as we approach the trade deadline on Monday. And another day, another loss yesterday for the Detroit Tigers, as the world awaits to see if Tarek Skubal will be dealt by next Monday. We'll also get to the NBA, Bill Belichick, and North Carolina before we bid you adieu at noon Eastern time. But joining us right now to kick off hour number two on this terrific Football Tuesday, fired up to have him not only on the show right now, but love having him as a part of the You Better You Bet family, one of the most talented guys in sports media, period. My friend, you hear him on You Better You Bet. You hear him every day, afternoon drive, The Drive, 96.5, The Fan in Kansas City, the very talented and handsome Carrington Harrison on Twitter at C.Harrison. My friend, welcome back to the show. What's going on?
Nick, happy to be on, man. You were talking about baseball, man. I live in Kansas City, so we have the Royals. I forgot that baseball was still happening.
Well, you guys, you did take two or three from the tie. I'm being sincere right now. I think there's a chance, Carrington, I mean, this sounds crazy, that we will, come November, look back on this baseball season and what Kansas City did this past weekend to Detroit, taking two or three from the Tigers, as potentially – what impacted who won the World Series this year. Because I think if the Tigers win that series against the Royals or sweep them, they might keep Tarik Skubal. But the fact that they lost 2 of 3 to the cellar-dwelling Kansas City Royals, I think made it very likely that they would, in fact, trade Tarik Skubal. So how about that for the Kansas City Royals?
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I'm not saying that you're wrong. But if your decision to trade the best pitcher in the American League comes down to one series in late July, when you are still under 500, then you're just a poorly run organization. The Tigers need to trade Tarik Skubal because of what you can get and think long term and think for 27, 28, and 29, not based off one weekend against Kansas City. A lot of these teams just have to sit down and be realistic with themselves about what the future looks like and can you win this season? Also, you got Skubal whose contract is going to expire, and are you going to re-sign him? If you're going to make the decision to keep Skubal, I'm not mad if you make that decision, but you 100% need to sign him for next year and long term. But if that's not in your plan, then you got to trade him. You got to cash out on all the picks and all of the prospects that you could potentially get and move forward as an organization. So I certainly hope that one weekend series from the Royals did not change the path for the Detroit Tigers.
I agree with everything you just said, and I just about fell out of my chair. I didn't. It's a nice sturdy chair. I didn't almost fall out of it. But I was surprised last week, Harrington. We had Jim Bowden on the show last week, former baseball general manager, Athletic, CBS Sports HQ, Sirius XM, MLB Network Radio. And he basically said the Tigers are going to like see how it goes over the next week and a half. And if they win, they'll keep him. And if they don't, they'll trade him. So you're right. It is crazy. I also think like they're just crazy. Anyway, we can get off the Detroit Tigers and the Kansas City Royals for right now. Carrington, the main reason I wanted to have you on the show, other than I think you're great, is because I really would like to discuss the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, just for context here, I ended the first hour of the show saying that I believe the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be back in the playoffs, will win the AFC West better than Denver, better than the Chargers. I might just pick them to go back to the Super Bowl this year, with Patrick Mahomes looking like he's going to be healthy. Just from a macro perspective, you're there. You talk about this team all the time. You're an expert as it concerns all things Kansas City. Where are you at right now on the Kansas City Chiefs as they get set to embark on training camp?
Nick, this might be the first time in a while in which I've been asked to do a Chiefs interview, and the host is higher on the Chiefs than I am. This was actually funny enough. This was kind of a 5 o'clock topic that we had yesterday because my text line was just saying, hey, you've been a little down on the Chiefs. And my position is I'm not down on the Chiefs, but at least locally, this is the first time in 8 years in which you can't talk about Kansas City, in my opinion, that they're the best team in the AFC. They have been that basically every year since Tom Brady went off to Tampa Bay. The Chiefs have been the best team heading into the season. Sure, 1 year Cincinnati wins. A couple of years ago, this team wins. But for the most part, Kansas City has been the best team in the AFC. The last time the Chiefs looked like the Chiefs was probably January of 2025. Since they got blown out in the Super Bowl, you fast forward, they had a weird offseason. They win 6 games. The Chiefs have to prove to me again that they're the best team in the AFC. I mean, the entire conference is radically different. The Broncos are much different than they were a year and a half ago. The Chargers are a lot different. The Patriots are a lot different. Buffalo's hired a new coach. Baltimore's hired a new coach. So I certainly understand optimism with Kansas City, but you can't get blown out in the Super Bowl, follow it up with 6 wins, have the 9th overall pick, move up to the 6th overall pick, and then heading into the following season, I treat you like you're the best team. No, you got to prove that on the football field, and it's just been a while since Kansas City has done that.
Are you surprised that at my show sponsor, BetMGM, that the Chiefs, now, they're not a huge favorite, they're plus 180, and the Broncos are right behind them at plus 185. Are you surprised then to hear, and would you place your money elsewhere based on value or what you think it should be, are you surprised to hear that the Chiefs are the favorite to win the AFC West?
I'm not, just because, and you know this as well as anybody, that you aren't getting deals with certain teams. It's sort of like in the WNBA. You can only make Caitlin Clark, like you can only have her down so much because the public would then load up on her, and then it has to kind of regulate it just a little bit. So if you put Kansas City at 3-1 to win the AFC West, hell, I would take the Chiefs at 3-1 to win the AFC West. I think Denver should be the favorite. I'm actually surprised that Denver is valued and priced the way that they are. I like Denver at 2-1. Denver is plus 1,000, so 10-1 to be the one seed in the AFC West. I don't understand what I'm missing with Denver that everybody else is kind of backing off of. They've got a capable quarterback. I think their run game's going to be improved this season. They add the best receiver in the AFC West going to get Jalen Waddle. They have the best defense in the AFC West. I do think that this year's gambling markets, to me, reflect that the public needs to see it from certain teams again. Because if you look at the top of it, it's the same teams that it's been for the last 3 years. It's Kansas City, Baltimore, and Buffalo. Two of those three teams missed the playoffs last season, but now they're right back at the top. Two of those teams changed head coaches this offseason, and they're still getting the love. So I see that as the public doesn't believe in Jacksonville, doesn't believe in Denver, doesn't believe in New England, doesn't believe in Houston enough, and it's going with what it knows. It's going with the quarterbacks. It's picking Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes. So that's how I see it more than anything.
No, I totally agree with that, obviously. And look, like, you know the answer to that question. Like, why does the market see the Chiefs one way and the Broncos another, despite Denver sweeping the Chiefs last year and Denver, you know, hosting Championship Sunday? It's because Bo Nix is the Broncos quarterback and Patrick Mahomes is the Chiefs quarterback. And I detailed it in the hour where, you know, if you look at the history of the league, you never see a quarterback of Mahomes' stature stack losing seasons. Like, it can happen. There can be anomalies. Dan Marino finished under 500 one year. You know, we've seen Tom Brady's final year in Tampa. Like, it's happened for some of the great quarterbacks, but not terribly often. I'm just of the opinion, and, you know, I can be wrong. I was way wrong on the Chiefs last year. If Mahomes is playing Carrington, I still think he's the best quarterback, even with how last season went. I still would take him over anybody else. I still think he's a number one, top of the heap, king of the hill. And I think that's going to be enough for Kansas City, just that fact alone, if he's going to be playing this year. What about your expectations for number 15 this season?
Yeah, Nick, and that makes a lot of sense. I guess I want to at least respond to one thing, and then I answer your question. I hear exactly what you're saying about Kansas City, but I would just challenge you with this question. We've never seen a team in the middle of a dynasty do what Kansas City just did. If you think about the Yankees of the 90s or the Patriots of the 2000s or the San Francisco 49ers or whatever dynasty that you would consider, we've never seen them get blown out in the championship game the way that they did and then follow it up with six games. The Chiefs didn't win 10 games and lose in the wild card round. They were eliminated at Thanksgiving. And they had no chance at making the playoffs. I certainly hear what you're saying about the Chiefs, but just like they're also doing something on the other side that we've never seen before as well. About Mahomes, his progress has been tremendous. When we're talking about a player that tore his ACL, fast forward, he's never missed anything with Kansas City. Now, he didn't play in those three games, but they were already mathematically eliminated. I don't know if he's going to play in those games anyway. This offseason, everything, OTAs, minicamp, anything that the Chiefs are practicing, Mahomes has been their starting quarterback for all of those things. He was clear. He's been practicing so far at St. Joe. They have everybody at camp tomorrow for their first, you know, official team practice. It was just rookies and quarterbacks over the weekend, and he's going to practice tomorrow as their number one quarterback. So I'm expecting Mahomes to be there for week one, and this is where I am on your side and where I'm optimistic about Kansas City. I think that the Chiefs were asking Mahomes to do something that no other team was asking their good quarterback to do. Every team that you think can win the Super Bowl can run the football and has invested in running the ball. Last year, the Chiefs had Patrick Mahomes with Kareem Hunt as their leading running back, who is still unemployed, and they had Isaiah Pacheco, who was just a shell of himself after he broke his leg early in 2025. So I think the addition of Kenneth Walker and just returning some balance. I mean, the Chiefs haven't had a 1,000-yard running back since 2017, so giving him that kind of weapon in the backfield, somebody who can catch the ball out of the backfield, somebody who can be reliable, I think it's going to open things up offensively that hasn't really been the case for Kansas City for the last two or three seasons.
It was funny, but that was Kareem Hunt's rookie year. Just to put things in perspective, how long ago that was that Kansas City did indeed have that 1,000-yard rusher. Tuesday edition of You Better You Bet, Westwood One Sports, Nick Kostos and you, presented by BetMGM. Our guest, friend of the show, family member of the show, Carrington Harrison, The Drive, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City, on Twitter at C.Harrison. So look, like, I really like the Chiefs this year, but I loved them last year and things went awry, so I don't have to be right. I'm curious as it stands right now, and then a couple micro questions about Kansas City before we wrap it up. Just where we're at right now, How many teams, Carrington, and this can be a pencil, not pen answer. Training camps have just started. We've seen no preseason games. Injuries are going to happen. But as it stands right now, how many teams in the AFC would you take over the Kansas City Chiefs?
That's a great question. I would put Denver as probably the only team definitively. I'm kind of bad at these questions just because I'm not really a power rankings guy. Like, I see it as a tier
system. To be fair, everybody's bad at it. We're all bad at it.
How I was going to explain it, Nick, is just, to me, it's more of a, what team do you put in a Super Bowl contending? What team is kind of in that next tier? Like, you and I would agree, the Rams, Seattle, teams that can obviously win the Super Bowl. So, like, they're in tier one, and then there's another tier. So, right now, I would say, for 8 years, Kansas City was the clear cut. This is the best team in the AFC. And you really had to explain why you would pick another team over Kansas City. I think right now they're in tier two, but I think there's like six teams in the AFC in tier two. And that's what makes, I think, that conference so interesting is in the NFC, you have two clear favorites and everybody chasing those two teams. You could tell me that you like seven teams in the AFC and I can't tell you you're wrong. If you like Baltimore, if you like Buffalo, if you like New England, if you like Denver, if you like Kansas City heading into the season, if you like Houston because of their defense, the AFC to me for the first time in maybe 20 years doesn't have a leader. We had the Patriots dominate for 20 years. We had Kansas City dominate for about 8 years. And this is the first time heading into the season that there is no favorite. If you're telling me that Baltimore right now is Vegas's favorite to win the AFC at +4 to 1, then there is no favorite. Baltimore missed the playoffs last year. Lamar Jackson ran for less than 400 yards, and they have a coach that we know nothing about. If that team's the favorite, then the AFC is wide open. So I would say Denver is the only team I would definitively put ahead of Kansas City. And then you got five teams in that next tier that I would say anything is possible.
I want to hit the offense quickly and then the defense, Carrington, and then we'll get you out of here. So on the offensive side of the ball, I almost don't even really want to discuss Kenneth Walker only because – I think the expectation amongst everybody is that he's going to have a really good year for Kansas City. Really, Super Bowl MVP, best running back Mahomes has ever had. Like, he's an absolute stud. Mahomes is saying he's going to run less this year, give the ball to Kenneth Walker. We expect that to go well. Now, this is going to sound strange to people, I think, the way I'm going to phrase this, but I think it's an appropriate way to phrase it, right? Because Travis Kelce, I don't think, played that well last year. And I don't think he had any focus at the beginning of the year, whether it's running the wrong route and hurting Xavier Worthy in Brazil week one against the Chargers, dropping that pass in week two against the Eagles that Makuba picked off. Chiefs might have won that game if Travis Kelce had held on to that ball. I think you can make the case that Travis Kelce should step up this season. Same thing with Rashee Rice, who's obviously run afoul of the law and has difficulty staying healthy. Xavier Worthy has, I don't know if he's been a full-on bust, but he hasn't, you know, achieved and fulfilled that first-round promise. Tyquan Thornton, can he step up? What about Jalen Royals? Give me a name, and it can be Kelce if you want, even though he's a future first-ballot Hall of Famer. Give me a name in the Chiefs receiving core that you think will step up this season, and why?
Well, let's start with Kelce. I hope that it's not Kelce. If your offense is led by a 38-year-old player, your offense just can't be dynamic. That can't be the center of your offense. I'm a big believer that one of the reasons why the Chiefs' offense has taken a step back over the last couple of seasons is he's been the center of their offense. He's led them in yards from scrimmage. That just can't be the case. You get explosive plays from explosive players, and that's not what Kelce is anymore. Kelce's like Al Horford, as an example. Like, you need Al Horford to hit a couple of threes. You need him to rebound a little bit, be a veteran presence. Al Horford can't lead your team in scoring. You're not winning the championship that way. So I certainly hope that it's not Kelce. The answer has to be Rashee Rice. All he needs to do is do exactly what he did in eight games for 16 or 17 games. He had around 53 catches, like 517 yards and five touchdowns. If you just double the numbers that Rashee Rice had last season, if he can just stay out of trouble, stay on the field, he's basically what Chris Olave did last season. You can live with him being Chris Olave. We don't think Olave's a top five receiver in the league, probably not a top 10 guy, but Chris Olave can be your team's number one. You can function if he's your top receiver. So, yeah, so the person that needs to step up for the first time is, it's Rashee Rice. This is a big-time money year. And I don't know the man's finances, but I'm assuming, hey, you went to jail, you got charged with a felony. You had to pay the victims of the car accident that you lawyer fees. I'm assuming some of that rookie money is starting to run out a little bit. You go, you ball out this season. You put up a George Pickens kind of year, a Chris Olave kind of season, and somebody will pay you next year. Maybe that money doesn't come from Kansas City. But, Nick, you see how they're paying the wide receivers. You can be a team's third wide receiver and get $15, $20 million a year. So just stay out of trouble. Put numbers up. Keep your head clean. Keep your nose clean. Just make good decisions and stay on the field. And Rashee Rice, can really cash out at the end of the season.
Final question, and this will center on the defensive side of the ball. And I think this has been a huge issue for the Chiefs as well. And, you know, I think Brett Veach, and I think you'd agree with this, right? By and large, and it's hard to argue with the results, right? Has done a pretty good job as the Chiefs general manager. But if you look at the talent on the defensive side of the ball, not a ton of impact players there really outside of Chris Jones over the last couple, and certainly last year, right? And I'm not like a film guy, but from people I talk to that I respect, it feels like everyone really likes Mansoor Delane, and there's more optimism than pessimism on both Peter Woods, the other first-round pick, and R. Mason Thomas, the edge rusher the Chiefs took in the second round. What do you say to people like me, Carrington, who believe that this rookie trio of Delane, Thomas, and Woods, to go along with Kyrese Tonga and Alohi Gilman and Kader Kohu, the new additions to the Chiefs' defense, will get this unit back to where it's been in the past under Steve Spagnuolo?
I mean, that's certainly the feeling locally, but it's interesting because, you know, you and I have been talking about the offensive side, and it's people that we know or we know they've spent significant capital on. Like, we're talking about Mahomes and Kenneth Walker, who was MVP of the Super Bowl. We're talking about Travis Kelce, who's going to the Hall of Fame, Rashee Rice, who's been in the news a lot, Xavier Worthy, the speedster coming out of Texas. Like, it's a lot of guys you know on offense. On the defense, it's a lot of guys that are unproven, haven't got a chance to play yet, just got drafted into a league that they're counting on. So one of the reasons why I feel the way I feel about Kansas City is at every level of their defense, it's a little bit of an unknown. Like you mentioned the D-line. You know two names on that D-line. You know George Karlaftis and Chris Jones. Outside of that, it's just a bunch of guys who have never done it in the league before. At linebacker, they've got a really good linebacker, Nick Bolton, but that's probably the extent of it. In their secondary, they don't have a proven starter from last year on their team. Now, cornerback is a position that the Chiefs have been very, very good at. They had McDuffie. They moved on. They had Jalen Watson. They've moved on. They had Charvarius Ward. They had L'Jarius Sneed. So they've done a really good job at corner. So a lot of it is just a trust and a confidence in how they've drafted over the last two seasons, a trust and confidence in Steve Spagnuolo, who is one of the best defensive corners in league history. So that's where a lot of the confidence comes from, that they're going to get the most out of that squad and coach that team up.
Final question. What is the thing, because summer's not over yet, right? We still have about 6 weeks until NFL season starts. What is the thing that you are most looking forward to doing this summer in your personal life before NFL season starts?
That is a great question. I can't quit Kanye West. I've tried to quit him 1,000 times. I just don't listen to him anymore. I don't mean like his music. I don't click on an interview with him. I don't want to know what he thinks about anything because every time he tells me what he thinks, it's usually the wrong thing. So I'm going to see Kanye at the end of August. He's going to be at the in New Orleans in the Superdome. The stage looks amazing. I've seen a little bit of the set list. Those old Kanye songs have such a hold on me in my life. I just can't completely quit them. I wish that I could. We all struggle with that artist and separating the art from the artist. And Kanye is that person for me. I know that he's crazy. I know that he's problematic. I just can't quit. So that's something I'm looking forward to.
Do you have like another 60 to 90 seconds?
Yeah,
we'll talk about this for a minute.
For you, Nick, I got all the time you need.
Okay. So I would say that Kanye is probably definitely my all-time favorite rapper, one of my favorite just musical acts ever in my entire life, right? And those first, and I think I'm 43. You're a couple years younger than me, right, I think? So we're around the same
age, one way
or another. Yeah, so when those albums and the time that they came out, like the end of college for me, right after I'm out of college, are seminal for me in my life. And like my wife likes a lot of old Kanye West also. And the song we've been listening to in the car constantly, I Wonder. which is just a tremendous song, right? And I kind of think Flashing Lights gets all the pub on that album. I think I Wonder might be just as good, if not better. So I'm totally with you on this. My issue with maybe seeing Kanye West today, like in 2026, and you've seen the set list, right? So if I ever ask, like, music or whatever, Spotify, Apple Music, shuffle Kanye West songs, they hit you with a lot of, like, the last couple albums. I have less than zero interest in any of these songs. I want, like, the first, like, six or basically ending with, you know, The Life of Pablo. We can cut it off right there for me and Kanye West songs. So, like, is this going to be new? Like, how much new Kanye? Because if it's all old Kanye, so I might fly to New Orleans and go with you.
That's a great question. This is going to sound bad, but, like, musically for me, Kanye died at a point, and I think some of it is just related to everything that we were discussing. So, like, I'm with you. Life of Pablo is to me the end of Kanye West music. Now, I've heard Donda before. I actually like Donda, but I have never heard Donda.
Well, he's got that song with Kid Cudi, right, on the album when, like, it's the I forget the name of the album, but it's the one that's that regards his being bipolar. He's got a song with Kid Cudi,
yeah,
Ghost Town,
I
maybe
know the
it's
one
called.
You're
like,
talking
that's
about
a great song.
I didn't listen to that album either. I haven't heard this new album. I have no interest in listening to it. I will never click play on it. Yeah, I mean, you and I probably have very similar, like, memories of Kanye West. Like, I remember, it was one Christmas, I got a $20 gift card to Best Buy. This is when you could get a PlayStation 2 Greatest Hits game. You know how hard it was to not buy a video game and wait for College Dropout to come out because I had to get it the first day?
Oh, man.
And that album didn't come out until, like, February. So I had this $20 gift card for 2 months waiting for it to come out. You know, I was one of the people that, you know, remember when 50 Cent and him had the beef when Graduation and Curtis came out. First day I'm at Best Buy to go get Graduation, I never heard an album like that before. The first time I saw
Queens,
Kendrick Lamar in concert.
And I choose Kanye also. And I'm from Queens, and yeah. I would choose Kanye over 50 Cent.
Yeah, you know, the first time I saw Kendrick Lamar in concert was at the Yeezus tour where Kendrick came out. He was just kind of this unknown guy, but you knew he was kind of next up. So I've been having so many positive memories for Kanye West, so I really hate the turn that he's made. And it's so anti everything he rapped about early on in his career, but I just can't do it. And the fact that Kanye's been quiet during this press tour, he's been quiet during this tour, it signifies to me he kind of understands how important this is, and he can't have one of his episodes and mess up the money. Like, you haven't even seen some viral rant from any of these shows. Like, no, just do the songs and go home. That's all we want. So I'm really excited to see visually what it is. I'm excited to hear Flashing Lights in real time now. I'm excited to see him again.
All right. This is actually the last one. What is Carrington Harrison's all-time favorite Kanye West song?
That's a great question. You know what? Let me give you a top five because it's hard to narrow it down to one.
Okay.
Devil in a New Dress. It's just that whole second verse and then the guitar leading into Ross's verse is just, it's incredible. Spaceship is really high on the list.
Spaceship
for me.
Is my number one. I love that you
Spaceship
said that.
Spaceship is an incredible song.
That was my, like, when I'm coming up and I'm making no money in my career early on after I graduated college, I would listen to Spaceship and get, like, emotional. Like, my time's coming. Like, that's my favorite. That's my number one.
No, I'm with you. I don't want to be around anybody that can't relate to Spaceship. Like, if you've never felt like that, then you've never lived. Like, stay away from me. Like, that's kind of how I feel. It's just such a relatable song. You know, another song, I really like Slow Jams. I can't explain why. I really like that song.
Yeah, here's why you like it. Because it's awesome. That's why you like it.
No, that's a very fair point. I'm a big fan of it. I like So Appalled. I just like all of them rapping and kind of going back and forth. The beat is real hard to me. I really like that. I got to give you another one off the top of my head because there's so many. Let me get two words off College Dropout. I like two words a lot.
Okay. Two words is great. And and no one brings that song up. Is Mos Def on that song? Yes, right?
Yeah, he is. Yep.
Yes. It's pretty good. The best line from the song Slow Jams is, "My dog said you ain't no freak, so you about to prove my man wrong." Dude, I enjoyed this, man. Dude, we could do this all day. You're the best. Carrington Harrison joining us on the show, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City, and obviously You Better You Bet family member. Thank you very much, my friend. I enjoyed it.
Nick, man, I appreciate you as always, man.
Carrington Harrison joining us here on You Better You Bet. Just one last Kanye story, if you'll indulge me. It has nothing to do with his music. So, I don't know. I'm like 43 now, and I don't say that as an insult to people my age that are sneakerheads. But in my 30s, I was, and even like in my 20s, but really like picked back up. Basically, once I started to make more money, I was like big into sneakers. And Yeezys at the time were like the sneaker, right? And I owned a ton of pair of Yeezys. I had a lot of 350s, 500s, 700s. I had like probably like 10 to 12 pairs of Yeezys. And I loved them, right? Super comfortable. They were the it sneaker. Now, when Kanye starts to go off the reservation, right? And he has said, Carrington's right, separating the artist from like the things he says and does. He's crazy, right? Like actually nuts. Actually, and you watch like the documentary on him, it's really sad, like what happened to him mentally. It is sad. He's crazy. I even reached a point where I'm like, I don't want to be, I can't wear this dude's sneakers. He's too nuts. The things he says are too out there. So my wife's uncle, Sal, great guy. I play pickleball with him. Guy's in great shape. I gave Sal like six pairs of Yeezys. Like my Wave Runners, if you know anything about, like Wave Runner was like the first Yeezy big sneaker, the Wave Runner 700. I gave him some 350s. He shows up at the pickleball court with me in Staten Island, literally wearing Yeezys, like wearing Wave Runner 700s. And kids are looking at him like, where did this old dude get these sneakers? And I'm like, I kind of want them back. Can I get them back? Probably not. All right, Bill is going to kill me if we don't break. I understand the segment went long. I also thought it was very good. On the other side, I'll give you at least one team that I don't like heading into the season. We got a lot of time to get to the NFL. We'll hit Major League Baseball. We'll hit the NBA. I'll tell you the star that needs to demand a trade. We'll talk about Bill Belichick. Still a lot to do on a Tuesday on Westwood One Sports.
The NBA has reshaped in one summer. LeBron and Jaylen Brown are in Philly. Giannis is headed to Miami. Paul George is a Celtic. And that's just the Eastern Conference. Who will challenge the Knicks for the NBA crown? Westwood One Sports.
Someone had a birthday.
Yep, 50. Can't believe it.
50 years of wisdom.
Great segue. We have a health reminder from the CDC.
Pneumococcal vaccination is recommended for adults 50 or older. Says here, we're over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50.
I don't love those odds.
Same. Look what I found. Pfizer's Prevnar 20 is proven to help protect adults against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease in just one dose, and millions have already gotten it.
Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you have a severe allergy to its ingredients. A weakened immune system may lower your response. Common side effects include injection site pain and swelling, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138. Visit Prevnar20.com or talk to your doctor or pharmacist.
I'm on Prevnar20.com now, scheduling my appointment.
Good idea. And happy 50th.
In 200 feet, turn right. Then apply to refinance your auto loan with Navy Federal Credit Union.
Huh?
Navy Federal offers low rates that can help you save every month on your auto loan.
Wow. If I can get all that with Navy Federal?
You sure can, good buddy.
Refinance your auto loan with Navy Federal to get on the road to better rates. Learn more at NavyFederal.org/auto-refinance. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. Credit and collateral subject to approval.
I scream. You scream. We all scream. Because Wendy's famous small classic Frosty is just a buck for a limited time. More screaming, happy screaming, summer screaming, dollar small classic Frosty screaming! But please don't scream in the drive-thru. It hurts the employees' ears. Get a $1 small classic Frosty for a limited time, only at Wendy's.
U.S. price and participation may vary. A la carte only, not valid for delivery. Limit 10 per transaction. Price may be higher in Alaska and Hawaii.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB. and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Drink up, baby. Fantasy Football Happy Hour is here to get you wins and have some laughs. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. We're diving into the tape, we're crunching the numbers to bring you sleepers, busts, weekly starts and advice. Whether you're defending a title or desperately avoiding last place, I've got you covered every single weekday. The bar is open. It's Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, wherever you get your podcasts.